Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Hope Elim, I will take my time, but I want you to know something. Sometimes preachers say this all the time, and he's like, they're just saying that. This was in my spirit this morning, and again, here's what they say all the time. I don't know who this is for, but I mean it. Maybe it's for me, and that's fine. Keep going. Somebody came in this building, you made your way here, you pushed your way through whatever weather, whatever it took to get here, and you're sitting here right now under the sound of my voice. No matter where you're sitting, I don't care how old you are, I don't care if you have a little or if you have a lot, hear me. Keep going. Sometimes life gets so hard that we get to a place where we think it'll never change. Our situation, it's just gonna be hard. The health issue is just gonna be the way it is. Maybe that's true. Maybe it is hard. But you need to hear me saying, and I trust that God is gonna hit his target, keep going. Maybe the conversation last night didn't go the way you wanted it to go. Maybe it's an issue that you've been kept silent and isolating, and you think that, man, God is so displeased with you. Keep going. We're going to get to the sermon, but sometimes if we just hear the word of God, hear what is being said, we're going to get to it. Maybe you had to deal with something that broke your heart, church hurt. And you decided, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going anywhere. In fact, I don't know if God is who he says he is. And I'm saying to you, keep going. Not because I feel like I am so special that I got something. I really feel like if you just receive it and apply it, don't give up. Don't quit, because the blessing is right around the corner. I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. I just believe that he's a promise keeper. I just believe that it doesn't always line up with our timing, that the blessing is already on the way. I don't know who it's for. And sometimes if we get what we pray for, it's not good for us. And sometimes God has got to get us in position, in a place, in a space that we could receive what he wants. So don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let life press down so much. Yes, sometimes you got to go to the emergency room. And I'm saying that because I know it's true. Yes, sometimes people walk out the door. Yes, sometimes people don't make it. They die. Death is a part of our life. And it makes us want to just stand still and be paralyzed. Anxiety takes a toll, and we become addicted to stuff. If that's you, keep going. Don't quit. Don't stop. Your blessing is right there. That sobriety is right there. The husband you've been praying for is right there. The situation, that the financial blessing that's going to change everything is right there. And we're standing together on the word of God, because he knows what you have need. Look for him. Seek after him. Pant after him. Chase after him. Pray that God will manifest so we can see it. Amen? Keep going. You know, and we're going to get to it, but here's what I think. Sometimes the reason why we don't get our breakthrough is because we're not willing to break out. We're not willing to break out of the things that we're comfortable with. We're not willing to break out of the rhythm and the routine that we're in. We're not willing to break out of our perspective, our lens, and trust God just at his word. Sometimes we can't break through until we break out of some of those things. And sometimes the way we break out is if we find ourselves in a place where we can give him an unbridled praise, that we worship him out of our minds. And if that's you this morning, I dare you to give God some unbridled praise in this place. Is that this moment? Is that this moment? If I could sing, I would sing a song, but I can't. But if I could sing, I would sing, I got a praise. I got a praise, and I got to get it out. I wish somebody would break out with that song here this morning. So I don't know. Come on, Doc. Hey, come on. Catch that! Come on! Come on, Hope Elam! Come on! Yeah! Woo! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! That's what I'm talking about. Woo! Hey! He had me jumping on my bad knee, so I know I'm good. Oh, man, I feel so much better. Whew, Father, even now. God, we give you glory. Whew. God, we're chasing after you. God, we just want to get so close to you, Father God. God, not some inspirational talk, not some eloquent speech. Not something, oh God, that God would be distracting. God, just that we can get in your presence. God, that we can dwell with you, Father God, that we can just sit with you. God, David said, one thing I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and gaze upon the beauty of his temple. God, we want to be near you, oh God. We want you to come and just rest on us. God, that we would just sit and you would saturate us, God, for lay our hearts open that we would receive this word. God, that it would be transformative, that it would make a difference, that somebody said it could have an impact. God, that we don't leave, God, just stirred, that we would leave motivated to do a thing, God, that we haven't done before that's going to lead to transformation. God, that we would move beyond the comfort zone. We would break out of the shell that we're in, break out of that in bondage we've been in, God, and we would break through to what you have for us. The preaching of the gospel is to some foolishness, but unto those who are saved, it is the power of God. You said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? So now, God, edify your word, edify the body of Christ, hit your target, take us from here to there, change our mind. I'll be careful to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Remove the distractions. We love you now, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Love Hope Elam, man. Just the vibe, just the opportunity to come and to be in communion. So, kudos to Lutheran Church of Hope. 30 years is a long time, amen. We got to give it up. Oh, yeah, we got to give it up. Hey, listen, the way I read it, 1993, 94, they got started 20 members. 20 members led to, after a while, about 255 chartered members. From there, they moved to Ashworth. Then they had to, after a while, 95, they had to make some more room. They were under construction. We're going to get to that. In 1997, they purchased some land on Ashworth and Jordan Creek. 24 acres. 2001, they built a 750-seat worship center, and in 2 weeks, it was sold out. It was seating capacity. And then in 2011, they built a 2,500 worship arena, and they pack it with 4-5 services. And I'm just saying, God be praised. There's a lot of things we can be afraid of about church life, but we can celebrate that. Amen? Not putting anybody on a pedestal, but God be praised. Because here's the thing, we're gonna talk about faith built on a rock. And you can't do that for 30 years if your foundation ain't sure. You can't do that for 30 years if you're not building on a firm foundation. And that's what I wanna talk about. Listen, under construction. When you look anywhere around the community, anywhere in your neighborhood, if there's anything under construction, typically what you're gonna see is that there's gonna be some orange fencing around it. There's gonna be a demarcation, because that demarcation is gonna let you know that that space is set apart. And as the people of God, as the ecclesia, the church, and that's what we're gonna talk about today, the church is called out of darkness into the marvelous light. When Paul talked about it in Ephesians 2, he talked about the church being a building. Talked about that we're all living stones as part of this building. And he talked about it, says that we all make up the household of God. And I want to be clear that the church is not a building, and the building is not the church. But the church can be used, the edifice can be used to be a blessing in ministry. But who Paul was talking about the church, you and me, talking about our temple, talking about who we are. So when we talk about under construction, one of the things, yes, there's a demarcation, and sometimes wherever it's being built, you'll see that until it's ready, it's a work in progress. And the reason why I want you to keep going this morning is because you are, I am, a work in progress. And sometimes we don't give people enough room because, listen, can I say it like this? Please be patient with me. I don't care my title, I don't care my position. Be patient, because God is not through with me yet. Please be patient, Kenan. I'm calling your name. Come on, be patient, Jade, because God is not through with you yet. Sometimes we don't give ourselves room to be developed. Yes, we have flaws. Yes, we have things, but we are a work in progress. The thing about when you're under construction, oftentimes, buildings are, again, they're set apart, and you can tell where the construction site is, because everybody who have or needed are within the construction site. There's electricians, there's framers, there's drywall, there's plumbers. And can I just say it? This house is filled with gifts. Filled with gifts. But as the building that is still a work in progress, I think every time we come into the assembly, every time we come together as the people of God, we are in a construction site, because God is working on us. He is molding and shaping us. We are not who we ought to be, but God be praised if we're not what we used to be, because we're still a work in progress. We're under construction. In order to really build something, Aaron, we've got to deal with our dirt. You can't put in a firm foundation on top of dirt. You got to dig up the dirt. So the stuff that's in our lives that we keep pressing down, God says it's time to deal with the dirt. You got to dig some of that stuff up. You can't build on top of dirt. You can't build on top of sand. God says you got to build upon a rock, a foundation that is sure. It's time to deal with the dirt. The foundation that God wants to build, and he's doing it. Some stuff right now, we don't even understand why we have to deal with it now. All this time, we've been putting it aside. All this time, we've been turning a blind eye to it, because sometimes we see what we want to see. But when you dig with it, it's all right there. God says, I'll come, and I'll put in a brand new foundation. Know that whenever the dirt get dug up, and sometimes it's not a brand new building. Sometimes, like this, it's an existing building. Can I just say this? There's areas of our lives that God is calling us to that he has to do some demolition. There are things that have to be removed before it can be improved. There's some things about the building, our building, that God does not want as a part of our site, that God can allow, which we're made for the Spirit of God to dwell inside the temple, if we're still holding on to our dirt, still holding on to our past stuff that he's already taken. So Hope Elam, I'm saying for all of us, can we deal with the dirt and let God tear down some stuff that doesn't belong? Sometimes before he can build up, you gotta tear down. And so for all of us, I wanna talk about under construction. Amen? Okay, so the reason why I want to do it, in the text, before we get to the text, David says, unless the Lord builds the house, unless God is molding, shaping, and leading and guiding, they that labor in vain. Why is this important? Because sometimes we spend a lifetime working hard, doing what we think is the thing to do because somebody had a good idea. I heard it said, and I surely believe it, a God idea beat a good idea all day long. And as the people of God, we know it. We just don't want to let it go. So I'm saying for us, unless the Lord builds the house, I'm talking about this house, and the house that you live in, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain. So also says this to us, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. A house divided can't stand. How can they walk together unless they agree? How can we be not only in proximity as Hope Elam trying to do this racial unity, which we are doing, but how can we go beyond proximity and get to see each other and get to know each other, get to feel the hurt that somebody's going through, not putting anybody in a space or place based upon what other people have said? What does God say? All right, so we're gonna move, and the text. So the first thing I want to deal with is the crowd. When Jesus had gotten to Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees. He already know what they think because they've been trying to test him and trick him and all. What about the common people? What about the folks you talk to? Who do they say that I am? The people that see you and hear you and experience the fact that you are following best you can, who do they say? What about their perspective? What about the crowd? Because sometimes, here's the caution. The caution is that we don't just follow groupthink. That we don't just follow a narrative that somebody else thinks. What does God say, and what have you discovered for yourself? The caution for all of us is to follow the crowd. And in the text, I wonder, why is Jesus asking this question? Is he just curious? Is he in a place where he wants to challenge the thought of the disciples? Why does Jesus care what the people think of who he is? And what I thought about, God cares about all of us, not just the ones who's walking close to him, not just the ones that he's showing and the unpacking of spiritual truth, but everybody, even the ones who are just coming and getting food, even the ones that are just coming and being in proximity. He cares for everybody. He wants everybody to know that he is the light of the world. He's the Messiah. He wants everybody to be saved. The crowd. But then, you know, he also asks the crew. You might say, well, who's the crew? That's us. The crew. And so he asks us, disciples. Okay, some say, you know, John the Baptist. I can see John the Baptist because, you know, John the Baptist, he can preach. John the Baptist was in the wilderness preaching his heart out. People was coming from everywhere getting saved, being repentant, and being baptized. I don't understand that. But then he said also Elijah and Jeremiah. He said, okay, he asked his crew, who do you say that I am? Hope Elam, who is he to you? Come on, the Christ, the anointed one. Who is he? Who is he when the x-ray is positive and you have cancer? Who is he when somebody died? Who is he? He's still the Messiah, the Christ. Who is he when divorce comes up? Who is he whenever you feel like the addiction won't go away? Who is he whenever you're brokenhearted? Who is he whenever things don't change in your life? He is still the Messiah, the Christ. And too many times, the crew, those of us who go to church, God is saying, you've seen me. You've experienced me. You've been rolling with me. How do I know? In Matthew 14, It starts off, it says, well, Jesus went to this remote place. And because they heard about how he was healing and had miracle signs and wonders, people was coming to him in these remote places. And because they was listening to his teaching, it would get late at night and the disciples would become concerned. Jesus, ought we not send them away so they can go eat? Jesus said, that's not necessary. He said, what do we got? 2 fish, 5 loaves. 4,000 people was fed and was filled. Did you forget? Did we forget? All we need is one time to know that was him. That was him. It could be something that it wasn't even you. It was your daughter. It was your son. He showed up and you know that it was a miracle. You know that it was him, and you know that it just settled all the cases for you. He is who he says he is. So the next time, as we are part of his crew, we are part of his household, when it comes up, at some point, we got to say up or down. God, we rolling with you. God, I know my ways don't even equate to yours. So you know what, God? You created me and fashioned me in your image. I'm going to give you everything I got. God, it's hard because I have doubt. Can I just tell? Sometimes, God, I say help my unbelief. Because God, I want to trust it, but it doesn't look right. I've been down this road before, and it broke my heart. He's still the Messiah. We are the crew. We're the ones walking close. Not only the crowd and the crew, that construction site. God, I don't want to go to church because somebody might say something and make me uncomfortable. God, you might whisper in my ear and say, stop. Turn around. God, you may say, I am so pleased with you. My son, my daughter, I love you, and I can see that you are trying. You can come in here, and you don't hear nothing from the front, and God just arrests you right there where you are because the Spirit comes and just scoops you up and lets you know, I see you, and I love you. The construction site, a place where you go where you really see him as the healer that you need, as the savior and the deliverer that you need, because you've been trying all the worldly stuff. You've been trying all these different directions, and it's not worked. And you say, well, those people at the church, it's not the people. It's getting in front of him, getting to his face. We're all broken and flawed. The construction site. Then he got to the confession. It got to a place to where Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the confession of faith. Peter, the one who denied him? Peter, the one who tried to walk on water and then got so distracted? Peter, the one who's always putting his foot in his mouth? You mean to tell me Rhema from on high came down and gave that boy revelation? You mean God can use me and all my imperfections? We confess him, confess Jesus, that he is Lord, the Son of the living God. It begins to do something on the inside. That confession of faith, that's how we build a firm foundation. That's how we know that we're building upon the rock. It's when we confess him. We say, Lord, here I am. I'm broken in all my flaws and my all the things where I'm just so infallible. But God, you said that you would embolden me when I'm weak. You'll be strong. God, you said that you are a strong tower. I can run to you when I'm afraid. God, you said that you are my buckler. When I would go down that road and I stop, and I don't know why, and all of a sudden, you are my buckler. I know you, and I need you. And I confess you right now, Father. I confess you. I surrender to you. Because all the stuff I keep trying to do all by myself, I keep coming to the right place. I keep getting in the right position, but there's something about my heart. I keep letting the world distract me because it doesn't make sense. God says, sit with me. Just sit with me. Keep praying. Keep pressing. Keep going. Keep getting up. keep asking the question. Peter failed miserably until he didn't. And once he had the power of the Holy Spirit, he became emboldened. And Peter became the rock, not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. But just so that we are not confused, we are not talking about, in this one, building upon Peter. In John 1:42, Peter answered the call when Jesus said, "Follow me." And at that time, named him Cephas, which means rock. That was his call. Here, he's being confirmed. He's being completed. He was under construction, but he see it now. He see it now. You are the Messiah. I know I let you down. I know all those things, but you're the Messiah. I see you. Somebody right now, God is just wanting to complete you. He just has you on the wheel. You remember Jeremiah? He told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And he's working on the wheel. And what he had in his hands, the clay that he had in his hands, was marred. It was an imperfection. And it was in his hands. As long as we're in his hands, you know what he did? He just made it over. He made it into the vessel he wanted it to be. I don't care how far you've been. Listen, Hope Elam, you're here now. Unless you... I don't care how far you've been. I don't care how long you've been trying to get this right. I don't care what people say about you. I don't care. Jesus Christ died for everybody. And the cross is for everybody. And my heart's desire is that over and over and over again, we would confess Christ and we walk this thing out. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Somebody's watching. A child, a sister, a brother. Somebody's watching. And their faith will be impacted by you keep going. You being completed right now. But not only that. Oh, that was the completion. He will be the cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. It's the cornerstone that is laid first. And everything is set to the cornerstone. It is the cornerstone that Jesus said that he is the chief cornerstone. You remember in 1 Corinthians 3 when he was talking about, well, I'm of Apollos and I'm of this one and I'm of that one. Like some plant, some water, but only God bring the increase. We got to understand the cornerstone is Jesus. And for us, he's the one that sets everything in order. So I don't know who I'm talking to. We're in good time. I want to be able to say this. We're in a giving campaign, a year in. And Hope Elam, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart because you've been faithful. The pledges, people are paying their pledges. If you've been for a while, you know we don't pass a plate. We don't even talk about it hardly ever. But you know what? It's a blessing to talk about because giving is a benefit to us. He gave us everything, but also he asked us to give. But then he's so good, he'll give back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, 30, 60, 100. That's just who he is. So talking about giving is part of what we get to do, not have to do. Because what we say, pray about it. And whatever God tells you to do, that's what you do. But we want to teach and have you understand there's a blessing in giving. It truly is. I know it. Sometimes it's tight. Sometimes it's tight. Sometimes it's tight. Listen. I failed to do this earlier. Who's visiting right now? Who's the visitor? I see you, brother. I see you. Yep. Listen, I see you. Now listen. Hope Elam. I didn't do this earlier, but we're going to do it right now. We're going to be a blessing to all our visitors. Remember what I said, keep going? Remember I said that? We're going to bless our visitors. You know how this works. To visitors, I'm saying keep going. Can't stop. Can't stop. Can't stop. To all of our visitors, keep going. We just wanted to bless you. We just wanted to bless you. Amen. Faith built on a rock. When you know him, who do you say that he is? Truly, who is he to you? Know for yourself and don't take somebody's word for it. Don't take my word for it. please. I do my best to stay right there, but go and say, God, have that conversation with him. God, help me understand. That is such a cold-blooded question. God, help me understand. And believe that he will show you. Ask in confidence. And then when he tells you, stand on his word. Amen? All right, so one of the things I want to do, Hope Elam, is have you understand what is being called of us as the church, as the ecclesia. And it's simple. And everybody can do this. Everybody can do it. Micah 6. Act justly. Do what's right. Love mercy. The same compassion that we want extended to us, as hard as it is sometimes when people are acting a plumb fool. Love mercy and walk humbly. Okay? You want to know what is required of the ecclesia? Act justly. Love mercy and walk humbly. Romans 12. Love deeply. Like, sometimes when you love deeply, it hurts. Not, don't hurt yourself. But it hurts to like the efforting that goes into extending yourself out of compassion. Not looking for something back, not looking for somebody to say, oh, I see you. Just because of your, like, almost do it in secret. But if you need to step into it, love deeply. And then the last one, James 1. Try this. Just breathe. I know it's going to feel so good when your flesh rise up. Yup. And blood everywhere. Because we use the word like a razor, not a laser. Speak life. Speak the truth in love. Now, I know we can do this. I know we can. He's empowered us. We can almost do it within our flesh, but we're going to need the Holy Spirit. That's the ecclesia. That's what we're called to. And if we do that, watch this. This is not going to be a problem. The shining the light together is not going to be a problem. Because all we want to do is honor him. Watch this video that's coming up.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elam, follow us on Instagram at hope.elam or visit our website at hope-elam.org.